You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Now, today we're going to have a lovely movie review / movie recommendation, question mark. It really depends what our lovely guest reporter, in this case, Emmy, thought of the movie. We're looking at a fantasy adventure film, The Magic Faraway Tree.
Just remember, don't go in that wood up top. Some folks say it's enchanted. Strange creatures. Floaty lights. Just the usual things.
I wouldn't say that was very usual.
Whoa! Mummy!
What is this place?
The Magic Faraway Tree.
It's amazing.
At the top of that ladder are lands that come and go. There's loads.
Except you must leave before the land turns. Otherwise you'll be stuck there for good, you hear?
She does that a lot.
Oh, you'll have so much fun.
Now, directed by Ben Gregor and adapted from a book series by Enid Blyton, this is a lovely new family adventure starring quite a few famous names you might recognize, like Claire Foy, Andrew Garfield, Nicola Coughlan, and the movie's been recently released in the cinemas. And Emmy, you have just gone to see it. Thank you for joining us on the Happy Hour.
Yeah, really pleased to be doing this again. I went to see the film at cinema on the day basically that the film came out, so really lucky to kind of go and see it when it came out straight away.
Fantastic. And could you give us like a spoiler-free quick plot? What is this movie about?
Basically, it's a family that goes to the countryside and they're trying to get the kids more into like being together as a family rather than being separate on like technology and kind of not being together as a family very much. And then when they're in the woods, they discover this kind of magical tree where there's like different people they meet and different like magical lands they go and visit, and they basically just try and make it so that they come together as a family and able to stay in the countryside and basically be more connected.
It sounds like such a good plot. I feel like, especially now with how the world is, I feel like technology and our smart devices tend to take over our lives. And what was your favorite part about the movie? What did you enjoy the most?
I must admit, there's quite a bit in there of like some of the old characters from when my mum used to read me the book when I was younger. So to like see some of that kind of developed more, and also there's a lot of kind of slapstick humour in it, so I found it quite funny. There's one or two like kind of jokey kind of things that came out in the film that I was having a right old giggle to.
And did you have a favourite character, if you had to choose one or a couple?
I'd probably say Saucepan Man is probably one of my favourites in the film. And actually what's good is they've got all the same kind of characters that you see in the books.
Mm. And is he, because I feel like all the magical characters look quite funny, so if you had to describe the Saucepan Man, is he exactly as you would imagine?
It's basically just a man wearing saucepans.
And what would you say was the most pleasant surprise? I know when it comes to adapting a book to a movie, it can get a bit tricky, because obviously, especially if you love a book series, you want to see it exactly adapted, but that doesn't work. So were there any surprising changes that you maybe saw in the movie and you were like, oh, this works really well, I love it?
I think the way they did kind of the going up the ladder to the different lands and then the way back down, like they did that very well as a more of a kind of interesting way than just a ladder and a ladder back down, kind of, because they just describe it as a like ladder in the tree in the book, so that was kind of done very differently in quite a funny, interesting way.
And who would you say would enjoy this movie the most? I think you went to see it with your family, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to see it with my mum and my auntie, but I feel like most people would probably want to go because of like the nostalgia of like reading the books together as a family. My mum remembers her mum reading the books to her, and she remembers then reading the books to me and my siblings.
Crazy, because that's pretty much like, I guess, quite a few generations of family members having this beautiful connection to a story and now getting to relive it again as adults.
Yeah, and then I'd say more so if people like kind of slapstick humor, like if you're not into that kind of humor, it might not be as good.
How did you find the soundtrack in the movie? Was it, did you think it fit the theme really well?
It was quite quirky. There was one or two bits where I was like, what on earth is this like sound? Because it was like, yeah, really quite quirky and quite kind of poppy in places, because it was based on kind of the atmosphere they were trying to create depending on where they were. And it was quite interestingly done.
Mm. And does the story, because I have to admit, I have not grown up with these books. I'm not familiar with the source material, but is there a great villain or a great evil they have to conquer in a story?
I'd say there's not really a main villain. There's kind of things that happen that could cause issue or could cause things go wrong based on what's going on in the story, but there's not really a definitive villain per se.
And do you think that's a good thing? Because I feel like sometimes, I guess, we maybe make it a bit too easy by just having a singular villain.
I think it was kind of more interesting because instead of having like a main villain or like a main kind of situation that's going on, it was all about trying to succeed in what they were trying to do to allow them to kind of stay where they were and in the wood and kind of trying to solve problems that were going on more so than a definitive villain.
And did you have any, I know you mentioned your favourite character was Saucepan Man, but did you think there was a particular character that was played in such a way that you were like, gosh, this person's a really impressive actor?
I think Nicola Coughlan was quite good as Silky the Fairy. That was quite an interesting portrayal of that character.
Have you seen her in, I know a lot of people might recognise her from Derry Girls. She's also been on Bridgerton.
Yeah, so I recognised her from Bridgerton.
Was it quite different seeing her in this role?
Yeah, because it's a very different kind of, I'd say in a way, a more kind of feminine role. In Bridgerton, for example, she's very kind of headstrong, very out there character, whereas this one, she was a bit more following along, a kind of bit more playing into girly fairy kind of thing. So it was a very different kind of portrayal, really.
That's quite interesting. And I know you've gone to see this film and you went to your local cinema and you asked for a headset to listen with audio description. How was that experience?
Yeah, unfortunately, the audio headset, it had, I think, like an old wire or something. So it didn't work, unfortunately. Because literally every time you managed to get it to work, it would then like fizzle out, or you'd literally move your head and it would stop playing.
Which can be quite frustrating because obviously if the headset's not working, you don't really want to get up in the middle of the movie to replace it.
No, but luckily with this film, there weren't too many like dark scenes. A lot of it is kind of very bright and colourful. So because of where we were sat, I could see a lot of it. But obviously it's not the best to say someone else who's got different vision loss who might depend on the audio description more.
What would you wish cinemas thought more of when it comes to like accessibility?
Is it's hard to think of what they could do, because for me it's kind of different to obviously what it would be for someone else, but it's just very, very dark. That's not always the best trying to find where I'm going. Also with the audio description, it's just the fact that, you know, it doesn't always work. Can't even know if it works until you get to the actual film, whereas it was at least on the adverts, on like the trailers, but at least then you would know if it works or not beforehand and you could go out and sort it out.
And I think it's a comment we actually hear quite a lot about adverts needing AD so you can test it before. Well, Emmy, if you had to give a score, I guess, will we score it in trees? If you had to give it out of 5 trees, what would you give it? Or out of 5 magical trees?
I'd probably give it like a solid kind of like 3 or 4. It was very good.
Well, Emmy, thank you so much for this lovely recommendation and for coming back on the Happy Hour.
Yeah, thanks. I really enjoyed it, and I'll hope to see you again soon.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.